Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 15th, 2023, 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Phil Brown, from the Southwood County Historical Corporation. Looking forward to talking with Phil about some of the exhibits they have over there and some of the other great things at the museum. Right now, in with us, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
Good to have you with us. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you. You too.
Want to say a big shout-out to our friends Taylor and everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Good to see you guys. Encourage you to follow along on their page at YouTube. Type into your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Follow along with all the great work that they're doing over there. How you been, sir?
Been good. Keeping busy.
Yeah, I imagine. It is a busy time, to any time the beginning of the year, even in the February here. I got a couple of things that I wanted to talk with you about, and I wanted to leave some time open if you wanted to touch on anything.
Okay.
But let's get into some of the committees that have been going on, some of the meetings, and any headlines from any of those. We had the feasibility study report on rail traffic recently. What were the results from that? What did we find from that?
So we posted on our website.
Yeah.
So it's out there. I encourage everybody to read it. It's 79 pages. and it's a lot of technical detail, a lot of information. But they brought forth a number of recommendations, from a small cost to creating an overpass or an underpass, running maybe $33 million. So there's everything in between.
Yeah.
I think there's some things that can be done. And I think there's some discussions that need to be had with the state. And so eventually Expressway is going to be redone, has to be redone. And I think at that point is the time then we need to start looking at maybe some other long-term alternatives, such as underpass or overpass.
I remember when I was living out in California, and I get out there, and, you know, the ocean was great, the mountains were great and all this, and I'm enjoying it. I'm like, man, it is really beautiful out here. This seems like there's so much. Oh, wait a minute. Why am I stopped? I'm waiting on something. What is this? It's a train. I'm waiting on a train. The same thing that I dealt with as a kid in Chicago or a kid here in Rapids, dealing with out in California. And talking to some locals in the Santa Barbara area about it and everything. And the first thing they mention is, yeah, that's one of our major money resources. Mm-hmm. Santa Barbara is one of the richest cities in America. And even they are beholden to the train system and everything. I think that all that is great. The study was really good. I read some of the highlights from it and everything. And I really think, more than anything else, it's great that the study took place. I think that shows a lot right there. I also think, and I don't mean this in a mean or cruel way. I apologize if my tact is not the greatest. My mother would be mad at me. But I also think there's a part of this where, don't we kind of have to learn to live with certain things and have some patience and some understanding? If you're a Rapids resident, if you've been here for more than a couple of years, you know how this works. You leave a little earlier for work or a little later, whatever it might be, and you know your ways around the trains to get around. If these trains were just there for, like, because they were fun to look at, then I could say, okay, well, we have a complaint here. We have something to say. But there's not a lot of resources for rural communities. Everybody out there is asking, hey, Mayor, when are we getting new jobs in town? Hey, Mayor, when are we bringing this business in? Here we got a business that's bringing in money, and we're complaining. And I get why we're complaining, and I'll be one of the people that complains too, but I also have some perspective on this.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's very important to our economy, and it's a very common question we have when businesses are looking at our communities, what's our rail access? So, and just the cost effectiveness of rail, transportation of goods. So, yeah, rail is very important to Rapids, but, you know, if we can come up with ways to, you know, maybe live a little bit better with our rail, such as, you know, underpass, overpass, you know, even in there it talks about, you know, predicting the can't remember the full terminology for it, but predicting for, you know, when a train's going to come. If you know 6-8 minutes ahead of time that a train's going to be at a crossing coming in our community, then maybe, especially as local people, we know to take a different way. But yeah, I think there's in quiet zones. You know, the other big issue is the quiet zones and creating quiet zones, and that's talked about in there. So I think there's some things that can be addressed on a short term, and hopefully kind of get us to a bridge to maybe a longer term solution.
There's a million apps nowadays. I'm surprised there's not an app to tell you when the train's coming, or hey, the train's actually stalled right now, and it could tell you on your phone and update you or something.
And that's what it would be. It'd be kind of a predictive app where, you know, based on signage or apps type of things that, you know, you set up sensors at different rails, and you can kind of figure that out, or, you know, they can engineer that.
And I have not, I've actually looked into it, and Pam and I have reached out to the rail companies and wanted to talk to them before and have them on the air, not to put them to their feet to the fire. I think that we would be able to answer a lot of questions going right to the source. We have not had any luck with that, of course, but one of the things that I think that would be beneficial, everything I said before about us as a community being understanding with this stuff, I think the rail companies could go quite a ways with actually reaching out to communities too and being like, hey, we're working, we're doing the best we can, we want to work with you, instead of the kind of mentality of, this is what we do, you're lucky to have us. Like, that doesn't really go over well with people either. And PR-wise, it's not going to help your industry at all.
Yeah, I think that's a national phenomenon that we all deal with, is the rail is very big. It's outside of the federal government also, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with my friends in the rail, you know, the problem is, and I apologize to them, I don't think they care most of the time.
Right.
It's
yeah.
like, this is what we're going to do, and this is what it's going to be. You know, it's a good position to be in, I guess, for them.
Sure.
But it's really kind of choking our community. And
well, and if we've seen anything with the industries that when you and I were kids, did we ever think the paper industry would fail? Like the newspaper industry would be down? I never would have dreamed of that. Mm-hmm. Chickens come home to roost. And I'm not wishing that on that industry or any industry. But I do believe in karma. I do believe that you get in what you put into things. And that can't end well, even if it is the industry surviving. Communities are going to push back. These studies, we're not the only community doing something like this. So I would hope that there can be a meeting of the minds and kind of a cooperation, a collaboration to going forward with it.
Yeah, and over the years, we've talked about rail. We've done studies. I've read, you know, online, you know, about how we're just doing another study. Well, I think this is, you know, compared to before, we just dipped our foot in the water before. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a very comprehensive study with a lot of metrics on many different crossings. And so we have really comprehensive data. And the city council is going to talk about it, you know, probably before our next city council meeting, discussing, have a committee of the whole where we just specifically talk about this rail study at that meeting and have a discussion on it and kind of see where, you know, could it come down maybe to a referendum some point, saying, you know, is this important enough to the community, you know, to pay for a solution or go to a bigger solution that's going to cost $1 million or two? And I think those discussions need to happen, and the community needs to be involved.
It's hard to imagine anything like that being agreed upon or voted in when we've got the jail right now, and that's hanging on our tax and on people's heads and stuff. So if it's happening, it's probably years down the line. I'm theorizing here. I'm not saying that for exact.
A big solution is years down the line, but I you know, talking to a council person this morning, is this is something we need to, you know, be the council that does something, and not just, hey, we just did another study and this is what we kind of figured and we'll deal with it later. You know, it'd be nice to, you know, start a plan, whether it be creating the quiet zones, making that investment, doing something along, you know, getting a kind of a heads up on a train with through some source, whether it be signage or apps or something along those lines, and then look and address the long term down the road when we have to redo the expressway someday.
Between the board and yourself, I would say this, you guys are getting things done. This jail has been talked about for 3 decades, pretty much, and here we are. It's happening. Other things in this town have been going forward and progressing and everything. Yeah. So if anybody can get this done, that group of people right there, I'm thinking that we got good odds.
Yeah, I think we've got a great council, and they work through things, and looking forward to seeing where this goes.
How about the finance and property meeting? How did that go?
So I guess there was a meeting last night. We're trying to get Centralia roof done. We had gotten bids that exceeded $800,000 to do the roof there, which we decided that we rejected the bids, and we're going to kind of come up with a different plan on what that roof needs, because I think what we put out for bid was more more than it needed. Mm. And so we're going to be able to step that back and try to get that the cost.
Wow, wait, it was lower than we expected?
Well, we'd like it to be lower.
Yeah,
so,
you'd like it to be, yeah.
So we're going to rebid that. So that'll be a big thing. But that's a roof that needs it. You know, you shouldn't be at the community theater and having drips coming down on the stage, you know. And I know they've come up with some creative plans to divert the water using a gutter system. And it's like, well, wait a minute here. This is just not acceptable. And go into vote and you have to have some cones coning off an area because water's dripped. And but it's a roof that's kind of been pieced together, and you know, when they redid it, and then the YMCA, that project over there, you know, they came up and they kind of marry into that. And I think it's just time that instead of piecing it together, we get one new roof on there, and we should be good for hopefully a couple decades.
Journalistically, I should mention, because I've never brought it up on the air before, I'm an actor. I'm a little biased about the theater.
Really?
I'll tell you about it sometimes. I'm a little biased about things over there, but I love that theater, what I really love is that building and all the combinations of the Y over there, all of our friends over there, the AARP, ADRC, yep. So many of the different groups of people over there. It's great. Really good for everybody to get something like that done.
Yeah, it's a very important. Obviously, roofs are very important, and it's a significant investment, and not when we have, you know, piles of cash laying around. And but it needs to be done. It can't be kicked down the road anymore, and should have been done a while ago. So hopefully the plan will get done here.
How about the Parks and Recs Committee? They met recently as well.
Yeah, I was unfortunately unable to make that meeting, but.
Picked one the one you weren't at. The one.
My kid's in driver's ed, so it's like I got to get him in the court. It's like, oh my goodness.
Being a dad always comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. But I missed that one. But Park and Rec's going well. They're working on the prairie dog exhibit, and they're kind of discussing trying to build that enclosure, which will be a really kind of a neat addition over there. Everyone's fascinated with prairie dogs for some reason. And you'll be able to, so they discuss prairie dogs. They also, I think, believe they discussed, you know, they applied for a grant for some new playground equipment. And so those discussions are going on. And
I've been wondering how things have gone for them because of the weird winter we've had. Mm-hmm. We count so much recreation-wise on that snow and what it can do for our winter activities and everything. It's always encouraging to hear that they, especially like all these departments in town here, I notice it very much with the Parks and Recreations Department. They're always trying to come up with something. They're always trying to think of a new angle on something or a new way to not only bring people to the community, but take care of the community and give them things to do. I really admire the work that they do.
Yeah, they've kind of restructured over there in the last year, and so you know, it's always new people bring new ideas, and it's always a good thing. You know, I think it's good for our leadership, it's good for our departments, and you know, and so I'm looking forward to the continued process of what they grow that Park and Rec program. I love Park and Rec programming. I grew up in it. I think it's a very, very important asset in the community, especially for the low cost options that they present and some of the unique options. And the stronger Park and Rec program we have, I think, is better for the community.
It's one of those ways that you not only keep your residents, but you bring new people in, having these kind of things. And speaking of that, I wanted to talk about the dog park and see if there was any updating on that.
So, yeah, Taylor's done some great video work over there. I was out there Monday morning. And so, yeah, I'm excited for it. You know, and I keep saying, you know, and there's some people spouting off online, of course, about, you know, money should be spent elsewhere, but people don't understand that money came from room tax dollars, so it doesn't come out of our taxes. Room tax dollars have to be divided by state statute. Some of it goes to Park and Rec, some goes to economic development. So Park and Rec has been, you know, they have an account for this money that's supposed to be used to improve parks. And so this, when we go to the dog park and we think dog park, this was built by people that stayed in our community and utilized our hotels, motels, and Airbnbs. And they are the ones that have paid for this dog park for us to be able to enjoy and utilize.
I get so kind of tired of the lazy opinion takes. The in this day and age where we walk around with these supercomputers and I can look up anything. I want to know who won the World Series in 1975. I can find it right in 2 seconds on my phone. When it comes to these things, all it takes is a tiny bit of digging to find the answer to that complaint you have.
Or a simple phone call. You know, but the problem is uninformed people spreading misinformation is, you know, and you're spending time. I don't respond. People might complain that I don't get on Facebook, but I don't, because I'm not going to get caught up in that cycle when people just normally call me or stop by and ask a question. And so, you know, they can spout off all they want. I don't care.
You should have to, I remember my mom telling me when I was a kid that nothing worth having comes easy. And I used to think, like, oh, that used to frustrate me and everything. But the older I get, the more that rings in my head. And like, oh, she really knew what she was saying there. When it comes to information, like, there's so much out there. It shouldn't be that difficult for somebody to do a search, to go to wirapids.org, and while you were talking, able to pull up the information to answer that question. Like, it took me literally 20 seconds to be able to do that. It's not hard. It's so much easier to complain than it is to do research, and I get that. But when it comes to, like, do you care? Are you a dog that just wants to bark, or do you have something to say? If you really do want to be heard, if you really do mean what you're saying, do the research, do the homework, then come back to us and let's talk. Let's have an adult conversation.
Participate.
Yeah, participate. Collaborate. Work with people. Nothing has ever been done from shouting or from a Facebook post. Like, that's not how you get work done. One of the cool things about social media that I don't think it's talked about a lot is how in other parts of the world, especially in third world countries, they've been able to bring attention to causes and situations like women's rights and things in the Middle East and these kind of things. And they've done incredible work with that. They didn't just put a Facebook post and then sit back and expect everybody to care about women's rights. They put in work. They actually did some hard work on these things. The idea of just posting something or just putting a comment on there, that's a keyboard
solution.
Yeah. That's the other part of this too. People just barking, but well, how would you fix it?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, well, what are you doing, man? What are you doing here? Then you're just a dog barking. Like, that's all that is. And I don't think that you're asking a lot, especially if you are asking of our officials, hey, solve this. I think that that's understandable. I think that's pretty fair. That's why we vote people into office. But then I don't think it's unfair for people in office to say, okay, well, you got a complaint. Where is your solution? Or at least be honest and say, I don't have a solution, but I find a problem with this.
Yeah, you know, and yeah,
it's a struggle. Gave you a lot there.
I got on a tangent there.
But
you're right, though, and it's a struggle. And you know, it's about participating and offering solutions. But the problem is there's people out there that just want to spout off and not offer a solution and telling everybody they're doing a bad job. And you're not participating then. You're only contributing to the problem.
Yeah.
And that's happening all too often, especially now.
It does. Give me a chance, though, to mention that when it comes to these things, it comes to these community meetings and everything. We encourage people to attend them. And if you aren't able to attend them, well, you got our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media that record all these, and they are right there for you on the YouTube page. You can research and find
Facebook.
Them all there. It's all there for you.
Facebook Live. And
none of this is hidden. Nobody's hiding any of this.
Nope.
I hope they don't ask about the dog park. Like, it's all right there for you. When it comes to the weather I was touching on before, we've had some unseasonable weather around here and everything. Has that affected our construction schedule, like road work schedule? Are people like, oh, it's a little nice, so I'm going to get out there and try to get something done?
I think some of those guys are getting the itch.
Yeah,
but
I bet.
We know that we can't start yet just because. But, you know, Pam was asking me about, you know, it's got to be good on the snowplow budget. The problem is, and it's really not a problem, is if we're not plowing snow, we're doing something else. So the snowplow budget may have extra money in it, but there's another budget somewhere else. You know, if you can see and if you notice in the parks and cemeteries, and there's a lot of tree removal going on.
Yeah.
So they're working on doing a lot of that. So the money really isn't being saved. It's just coming from a different part of the budget, unfortunately, or just the nature of it.
Shifting these things around, the pie chart, moving this to
and
here.
If it's snowing, then they'll hit the snowplow budget.
I did also want to remember to mention to everybody about the Veterans Honor Walk. Are we still taking applications for that?
Okay. Absolutely.
And we want as many of those as possible. That's such a beautiful thing to have to our community. I'm looking forward to seeing more of those. And honestly, the idea of like 5-10 years down the line and seeing them again and again and again, that's going to be really cool.
Absolutely. And it gives our downtown a great perspective. And yeah, it's pretty neat. And, you know, we were talking about committee meetings earlier. The Plan Commission did a lot of approvals for the Shopko project. So Tom Richards, the developer out of Arizona, was here and before Plan Commission. And, I'd be excited this year to see what's going to happen over there. And there's going to be definitely some things happening. And
if we had time, I wanted to bring it up. I was curious. I heard a little bit about that. And I know that there's been, it seems like the day a building becomes open, people the next day complain about that building being
right,
open
and why is it we wanted
like it's a hermit crab, right? And then just move right in there or something.
Exactly.
Is there some things on the coming up for that building?
Or? Yeah, it sounds like he's got a number of tenants, four of them. Yeah, he doesn't have signed leases, so it's not for sure, but they're going to be 10-year long-term leases, so that building will be occupied for quite a while. And
nice.
I'm sure once we get some signed leases, then hopefully they'll kind of put out there, you know, those businesses. But there's some changes coming. There's some other activity that's going to, is kind of developing for A Street, and we're looking forward to seeing that come into fruition and some activity. But yeah, we'll never have enough retail. We'll never have retail like we did in the past. But if we can have some options here, I think it's a good thing. Other than food and coffee, and people want a place to go shop, and we need some more of that.
I think that as we're wrapping up here and everything with you, Shane, one of the things that I wanted to do if we had time was to just touch on our community as a whole and have a little perspective. I had seen some of the rumblings about the trains, and we've heard this for years about that, other noise here and there and everything, and we're so quick in society these days to tear things down and to want to complain before compliment something. And I do believe in accountability, and I do think that you're an American, you have an opinion, you have a right to say it and all that. I'm a wholeheartedly fan of that. I think that you could also counter or, have both. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many communities have a minor league, ball team and hockey team, or have the success that they've had with their high school programs. Mm-hmm. The way that our community, our volunteers, our nonprofits, the success that they have in this area, their school system is so much stronger than most areas that around, including cities near us and right next to us and everything. Our national average is so much better than I think most people would realize. I'm not saying that you can't have your complaints, but just taking a moment to appreciate the area you have, coming from a different area, coming from a much, much different area, I can tell you there are some things. My kids being born in this city, I'm proud of that. I'm thankful for that. And I don't think I'm the only parent that feels that way. It's not a bad thing to call things accountable and all that, but just having a moment every once in a while to be like, dang it, this is a good town. This is a good area. Yeah, just to appreciate it a little bit as you're going through this day of like complaints. Every once in a while, popping up some good things in your head, because I almost guarantee you put a list of positives and negatives, and that positive list is going to blow away that negative list in this area.
Yeah, I was speaking to Tom Richards, a developer from Arizona, he was very impressed with the community. He was impressed with how nice people are here, because obviously across the country there's different different levels of niceness and lack of niceness. And he was very complimentary of our community. And, and as developers like that come and have these positive reactions in our community are more likely to develop again in another location in our community.
That's a great point.
They buy things and they're looking to create, and if they come to a community and they don't get a good vibe, they're not going to come back,
right?
Or they're going to go just move on somewhere else. And so when we have developers that are complimentary, I think that's very important for our community.
Shane, we've covered a lot today. If people have follow-up questions, want to talk about more, I know I really put you through the ringer today. I'm sorry.
That's good.
How can people get a hold of you?
It's through through email, call our office, my office phone number 715-421-8202. We're always around.
Yeah, and appreciate the time as always. You, the staff over there, keep up the great work. You guys have a great weekend going forward here.
Thanks, James. Great seeing you.
And a big thank you to our friends, of course, Taylor and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys so much. Go to your YouTube page, type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to that page, and you won't be disappointed.
They are doing some very phenomenal work over there.
Really
They're
are.
Making some great videos and...
I love the work that you guys do over there, honestly.
Good job. Very good.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more Morning Magazine for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.